Hey, this morning, as we dive in here on this Father's Day, we're going to play a little game together. You guys ready for that? So here's the challenge. I'm going to ask you all to try to name the top categories of what a wife would be looking for in the ideal husband. Okay? Now, I searched across a bunch of websites, and you know they have those little top lists of things that a woman's looking for in a man. And so this is general categories. Keep it G-rated for the family. There's a little spiritual in there, but the rest is kind of just general. Okay? So kind of think in that way. What are the top things that a wife is looking for in a husband? So go ahead and call them out one at a time. I'll interact with them one at a time. So, sorry? Provider, financial provision, financial security. Ding, 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 ding. It's on the list. Okay. All right. Give me another one.
Good looking.
Thank you, Roger. Yeah, I mean, come on. Ding, 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 ding. That's on the list. Good. Emotional support, like able to like connect well, communicate well. Let's go with that. They can talk, they can listen, and support emotionally. So good communicator, good at communication. Good. Thank you.
Funny.
Coming from Maddie Six down here. That's his nickname. He's kind of funny. So I didn't mean to slight you there. Not kind of funny. You are funny. So good sense of humor. Right there. We'll just stop before I dig myself a hole. All right. Good. What's next?
Strong,
like huge, like that kind of strong? Yeah? Am I in the right category here? Strong. I'm going to kind of throw that with good looks, because John, I know that you're buff and you look really good. So, okay. All right. A leader. Maybe even like a spiritual leader, right? No, can really guide the heart and soul of the wife and the family. Yeah, very good. Like spiritual leadership. What else? Faithful. Like in what way? Loyal, faithful, maybe good integrity, good character. We'll go with good character. Is that good for you? Yeah, all right.
Someone who will pull their own weight.
Ooh, someone... The lady's like, mm-hmm, that's right. He's going to pull his own weight. Yes, hard worker. Yeah, that wasn't listed that way on the top 10, top 8, but yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're gonna helpful. We'll throw that into like all like good character. There's maybe like one or two more here. Loving, yeah, he values his wife, cherishes his wife, and cares for her well. So yeah, loves his wife well. I got one more. Takes care of himself. Yeah. Wait, what did someone say back there? A protector. Yes. I'm gonna just run with that one then, Greg. Protector and like committed to the family to watch over them. So like a good family man, right? Okay, so I'm going to stop it there because you guys have nailed this. This is great. You've gotten the top 8 and more. My mind's still flashing back to yours, John. He's huge. He's strong. Yeah. But to summarize all that, consistently across the board, the one that showed up highest the most is that he loves his wife well. Loving his wife well, respecting her, valuing her, cherishing her, spending time with her, showed up the most. And guys, I want to just tell you, this is really good news. Because that means that if you're not a supermodel, if you're not a bodybuilder, if you look more like the Geico caveman, if you're broke, there's still hope for you if you know how to love a woman, right? So this is good news for us all. I throw myself in that category. Because if a husband does not love a wife well, she will be miserable no matter how good of a guy he is to everybody else. if he's not loving toward her. And there's this part of a woman that longs to be loved and cherished and to know that she's number one in his life. Now, in a Christian way, we don't mean that she's above his love for the Lord, but that if God is number one in his life and out of his love for the Lord, he's able to love her well, then everything is in the right order and it is good. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 5, and God knows what's in the heart of a man, what's in the heart of a woman. In Ephesians 5, it talks about how a wife should respect and submit to her husband. This actually was our message for last week out of 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6. But it also says in Ephesians 5 that a husband's job is to love his wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Guys in the room, if you're married or you're thinking about getting married, your job is to love your wife to death, literally. Let's hope it doesn't come to the point where you physically have to lay your life down and die for her. It could come to that. But in a very real way, every day, it means dying to yourself. This is not a popular message in our world. The world says, hey, you do what you want to do and you satisfy your own wants and your own needs and look out for you. But marriage is this place that God calls you to come and to die to yourself. In fact, I would say that God does the most sanctifying work, transforming work in your heart inside of a marriage than it can happen in most any other place. Because you've got to choose to put yourself aside every day and to love and serve and honor and cherish someone else in your life. That's the call for men. Guys, happy Father's Day. We'll just go ahead and like lighten it up again a little bit here. If you have kids, dads, we want to say happy Father's Day to you. And this message is directed at men. And so guys, whether you are currently married or whether you're thinking about getting married, or if you are divorced and you're carrying pain and regret, or if you're widowed and you're carrying sorrow, I say to you, this message is for all the men in the room. Because we need to learn God's call to how to treat women in general, and it's specifically in marriage. Ladies in the room, this message is also for you to listen into, and I hope that there's some hearty amens if I'm on the right track, and you'll help me to know, like, yes, this is important. Keep preaching like this, right? So ladies, you're allowed to give that feedback today. But for all of us, this is good because it's God's word. Anytime we look at his word, we're seeing something in the heart of God. And as we do, as we look at marriage, like we laid the foundation for it last week, and I'll just say, if you missed that message, go back and listen to it, because there were some foundational things we talked about at the beginning. I would just say to you, marriage is the most foundational relationship that God has instituted in this world. And it is the basic building block of society. Marriage is the place where you can experience the most intimacy, as it pictures for us the relationship that God has with us, as Christ is the groom and the church is the bride, and we see his unconditional sacrificial love for us that we just sung about and worshiped him for. That same love is supposed to be present in a marriage. And when a husband and wife walk in that kind of love, it's the most wonderful experience. It's also the most hurtful experience when that breaks down. And for the lack of a safe and solid and secure and loving marriage, parenting breaks down. And the church breaks down. And working in the workforce begins to break down. And government breaks down. And society itself, for the lack of good, solid, safe, secure, loving marriages. And it comes down to that commitment. Wives, respect and submit to your husbands. We talked about that last week. And husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. Now, ladies, I'm going to see if I get an amen from this one. It's a whole lot easier to respect and follow a husband who would love you sacrificially like Christ loved the church. When the two are working together, it's a beautiful thing. And so I'd have you turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. Ladies, you might say, man, it's unfair that the guys, they only get one verse, verse 7. We had six last week. But I'm just going to tell you, this verse is chock full. There's so much to unpack. And let's just dive right into it here together. Verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 3. Husbands, in the same way, like as God was speaking to the ladies now, in the same way he's speaking to you guys, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life so that nothing will hinder your prayers. All right, I know there's a lot in there. I know your eyes probably got just drawn to certain phrases in there. We're going to look at all that. We're gonna unpack it. But I'm reading out of the NIV, and I normally do as I preach, but I want to tell you that if you have an ESV in your hands, that's what I'm actually going to follow the wording of this morning, because it most closely parallels the original language of the Greek wording in there, and actually I think makes a better structure. And I got the structure from this message from Warren Wiersbe, a solid commentator that gave this four-part view I'm going to do in this verse. And it really talks about loving our wives in four specific kinds of ways: physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. We're going to cover all of those this morning. And so let's jump in to that together. The first one is to love your wives by being present. It says, live with your wives. Then we can just take just that statement, and it means to be present with them, to be physically near them, to be with them, to dwell together with them. It's hard to be a loving and faithful husband if you're never home. Guys, there's a lot of things that will pull at us in our world. Probably if you're in the workforce, number one thing that's going to pull at you is your job. There's going to be demands that are heaped on you. There's going to be pressure to say yes to the next thing and chase after the next promotion. Or your boss might ask you to do something and you feel like, well, I got to say yes or else I'm going to miss out on opportunities. And before you know it, you may be sucked into a life that is at a pace that's too much. It may be that you have to travel a lot and you're called to go here and go here. It also might mean that as you go along and you pick up maybe some hobbies and some interests that you're gonna want to go out on the evenings and the weekends and be away. And before you know it, it could be that your life is so scheduled, your commitments are so high, that you've lost the priority of being home with your wife. I know for me, I saw that happen in several different contexts as I was growing up and going through life and seeing how that put a strain on different marriages. And I thought, you know, as I'm going to step into marriage, here was this young guy, we got married. I'll just go ahead and say this. Parents, if you have kids in this age category, they don't have to follow our pattern, but we were 21 when we got married. I've heard of ones that were 18. Some of you in the room, I don't know how old you were if you're a married couple. We were 21, and it was we were almost graduating college, and we talked our parents into like, hey, if we get married, it's actually going to save us money. And okay, it was a whole thing. Anyways, I remember thinking, if I'm going to step into this commitment, I got to do this with all my heart. And I've seen where there's husbands that have taken on so many commitments that they end up traveling. And someone who was gone like half the time. People who were so involved in different things, they were barely ever home. And I thought, I don't want to do that to my wife. I want to make sure that I'm home on a regular basis, that there's a couple of evenings a week I'm home. As a pastor, I try to safeguard that day off, try to have like Sabbath of rest with the Lord, but also with my wife and with my family. If it is a really busy day, I try to make sure that even when I come home, if I'm tired, I'm still going to spend like maybe a half hour, an hour with my wife before we go to bed, and that might mean we get less sleep. But I want to prioritize being with her and making sure she knows she's important to me, that I made time for her. So whatever that looks like in your schedule, the demands, the commitments, one of the commitments you are making if you step into marriage is to say, I'm going to love you by being here physically with you. Now, you might also wonder, does this cross over a little bit? Is this kind of hinting at also perhaps physically in the sexual union in marriage? And the answer is yes. Biblically, this phrase can also mean this connection that we would have in a physical way, in sexual expression. And I imagine, guys, if that's a command, hey, be with your wife, live with your wife physically, you're like, okay, that's not a chore. I'm in. Like, if that's the way I got to love my wife. But let me also tell you guys that there's a whole lot of other physical expression that is part of the marriage relationship that we need to focus on, no strings attached. You know what I'm saying? Without expectations. Affection. How about going for a walk together and holding hands? How about when you're out somewhere and, guys, right now is a great time to have one of those yawns and, like, put your arm around her. Like, yep, you can do it. It's legal in church. You can do that. My wife and I, one of the things that we have grown to love, I just saw that. Good move, Mike. Appreciate that. One of the things we've grown to love to do as we're kind of moving into the empty nest phase here is on nice evenings, we like to go out to the front porch and sit in our chairs on the front porch. Like, just right there, I just sounded old. But it's good. And we sit out there and we talk together, and the sun goes down right where kind of the area that we're looking, and we can hold hands and we can process our day and just be together. And hold hands. And the little things that you can do, maybe sit on the couch if you're reading a book or looking something up or watching TV, sit together, not with a huge space between you. And be present physically. These things are important. Show affection. Spend time together. And can I just say something I also learned a long time ago, that one of the ways to spell love is T-I-M-E, time. Spend time, husbands, with your wives. They need it. They long for it. Prioritize being with your wife. Now, at the end of each one of these categories that we're going to talk about, I'm going to put on the screen some phrases that would capture the heart of what we're talking about here. And they're kind of worded like things that your wife would want to hear you say. So, guys, here's some things that you need to kind of be thinking about. Like, embrace this. Like, hey, I'm so glad I'm home. I really missed you today. I'm really looking forward to being home with you tonight or this weekend, that we get this time. I put it in my calendar and we've prioritized this. I'm so looking forward to this. Or, hey, you look so beautiful today. And you can say that however you want to say it. But you look so beautiful today, honey. These are things that our wives want to hear from us. Let's move forward here from live together with your wife. The next part says, in an understanding way. So we're going to move there to loving her with our minds. Love her mentally in an understanding way. Guys, there's no way around it. We need to love her with our minds. But we are famous for checking out mentally, aren't we? There can be this scenario where the husband is talking to, or the wife is talking to the husband, the husband's doing something else, and so as she's talking, it sounds like womp, 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 womp in the background. Charlie Brown's teacher is talking, and you have absolutely no clue what she's saying. But the husband's like, well, I gotta sound like I'm listening, so he'll be like, uh-huh. Uh-huh, yeah, sure, whatever, uh-huh. And she'll be like, you're not even listening to what I'm saying. I just asked you, what do you want for Father's Day? And you said, uh-huh, sure, right? Guys, if we're watching TV, we got to admit, we are terrible multitaskers, aren't we? It doesn't work to have the TV on, be paying attention there, and listening at the same time. I'm going to look over at my wife. She's like, I didn't hear a whole lot of other amens from wives in the room, but I heard some laughter, so I'm assuming that's an amen. Guys, it could be that we're looking something up on our phone. It could be that we're driving and we don't multitask well. Let's face it, guys could just be staring at you in the face and check out and go completely somewhere else in their minds and not be able to track what's going on, what she's saying. Guys, pay attention. Pay attention to what your wife is saying. Give her your full focus. And when you mess up, did I just offend you, Dan? Sorry, brother. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. And when you mess up, guys, like I'm really bad at this. I try to get myself out of it. Like, no, I was listening to what you're saying. Oh, and she's like, really, what did I just say? And when she pulls out that test, I'm like, oh crap, I'm busted. So guys, just admit it. You know what? I didn't listen. I'm sorry. I'm going to turn this off, and now you have my attention. Even the humble response there and turning to pay attention is a good thing. But another aspect of this is not only paying attention to love your wife, to live with her in an understanding way. We have to pay attention, but we also need to understand that we're not wired the same. I don't want to try to stereotype. This is all the ways that men are wired, and this is the way that all women are wired. But it's probably true that within your marriage, one person looks at life this way and processes life like this, and another spouse will look at life this way and process like this. And I know for me, as I was new into dating and marriage, I had only, in any prior relationship, I'd only dated 2 months as the longest I'd ever dated someone before I started dating Lisette. That's not enough time to learn how to relate to women. I grew up in a family of 5 kids. My sisters were the 2 oldest, and they were too cool to spend time with us. Rugrat brothers. And so I didn't really spend a lot of time relating to them. All I spent time with was my brothers and my friends, who were guys. And so here I was, and I was a total chuckhead when it came blockhead to learning how to relate to a woman. And I didn't realize, like, I was more of a, hey, you know, let's just get right to the point. Just tell me the facts, ma'am, and we'll move on. You know, we'll kind of just deal with that and let's fix it, and then let's go have fun again. And that's not exactly how Lisette operates. I'm not going to fully describe that, but we're wired differently. And so I had to learn to be understanding in a way that I'm going to go, okay, let's stop and let's listen and let's process together. And I had to learn that I can't just fix her. I need to let her talk. I need to pay attention and show that I'm paying attention, and let her just keep processing and talking. And then usually if I let her do that long enough and I listen well enough, she will come to her own conclusions and she fixes herself. And I'm like, this is brilliant. I'm like, why didn't I learn this sooner? And she comes to the right conclusions on things and then we move on, and she goes, thank you for listening. Like, I really feel loved by that. I'm like, I didn't do anything. She's like, exactly. So whatever it takes to figure that out in your marriage, guys, have the wisdom to understand that how you interpret life or how you would approach things is not exactly the way that she will, and you can't just force her into that box, or else you're not loving her, you're controlling her. Live with her in an understanding way. Allow for there to be differences. Allow for her to be on this page while you're on this page, and it's okay, and you'll come eventually to the same page. Don't try to force everything and wrap everything up and fix everything. Live with her in an understanding way. Guys, if we're a little more understanding, if we're a little more wise, if we give space for our wives to process, she will feel loved. And here are some things that she would want to hear from you. And ladies, give the thumbs up or the uh-huh if we're right here. Hey, let me stop what I'm doing here and we can talk about that. Wouldn't you love to hear that? Hey, help me understand what you meant by that, because I didn't grasp it. It didn't make sense, or I don't know what context you're talking about, or I admit I wasn't listening well enough. So help me understand what you meant when you said that. It's not saying you didn't explain it right. I didn't understand it right. Or how about, I'm really glad you told me that. Like an affirming, like, okay, I appreciate that you're sharing this with me. So we're loving her in a way that we're paying attention and actually trying to understand and listen well. Next one is more dicey. This is the part that your eyes were probably drawn to a few times. It's loving her in our emotions. And there's some things that are lumped together. There's a phrase here that, does it go with the part before? Does it go with the part after? And I waited, in all honesty, to address it on this part. It's the one that says to live with our wives in an understanding way as the weaker partner or weaker vessel is the original wording. Okay, take a deep breath. What in the world is God saying here? This is a tough one. And when you look at it at face value, it's like, what is God saying about women here? Is he saying in some way that women are of less value than men? Let's kind of break this down here with you and ask us several different questions. What does this mean? Does it mean that women have less value in God's eyes? The answer is no. In fact, if you look back at original creation, Genesis chapter 1, it talks about how God made male and female in his own image. That means that God intentionally, thoughtfully created male, he created female, and he has aspects of himself and of his personhood that he has put into both male and female. Intrinsically, they both have an equal value before the Lord. So that's not what this means. Does it mean that women have less intellect than men? And the answer, again, would be no. Again, they were made in God's image. But also, let's just take the test of common wisdom. There are male doctors and female doctors. There are male lawyers and there are female lawyers. If you take whatever hard subject there may be, there's not a difference in the intellect between men and women. Does it mean that women are emotionally weaker than men? I think there may be differences between women and men, but I don't think God is implying that women are necessarily weaker or lesser emotionally. In fact, they can bring some very positive aspects out to a man who's not as well developed emotionally in understanding how he feels about things. Is it saying that women are physically weaker than men? Well, there may be some differences there on the general scale. It doesn't apply completely, but this is one of the relevant topics going on about competition in sports of biological males and biological females. It's one of the reasons this is really being discussed right now, because that difference is being blurred. And there are differences between men and women, and we can't just ignore those, that genetically there are ways that in general men are stronger or able to do more things physically than women. But we're not trying to make an issue of that, nor do I think that the scripture is trying to make an issue of that. Let me get to a question that might be a little bit more pertinent. Does it mean that women may have more disadvantages or may be susceptible and vulnerable than men? Especially as Peter's writing in the Roman Empire culture, that reality was absolutely a yes. Women were disadvantaged in education, They were disadvantaged in training. They were disadvantaged in opportunities. They were disadvantaged in the way that, men would even consider a woman's role. Women were more vulnerable to attack or to abuse. And some of those things carry yet over today into our culture. So while there's a statement that, women may be vulnerable in some ways that men may not be, again, not across the board 100%, this passage is not even really trying to make that point of, well, men have more advantages than women. The point in this passage is what comes immediately after that. It says that we would now, as a result of that, hold our wives with honor, esteem them with honor. Show honor to them. This word honor is actually a really interesting word. It means to assess a kind of value to something that others may not see. Imagine you walk into an antique store, and maybe you do that. Maybe that's one of the date things you do for a husband and wife. You go, hey, let's go look at antiques. And you walk in the store, and you're like, oh, that's junk, and that's junk, but ooh. This is a nice item. It has historical value, or it was made in a way that they don't make things like this anymore. And you see the value. And let's say you pick up something. You're like, the price tag on this is really low, but I know this thing is worth a lot more. Let's say it was a vase made back in the Civil War era. And it has historical value, the kind of artistry that's on it. You go, I'm going to buy this. And you feel like you're fleecing the store when you go up and you're like, yeah, I'll take this for $2, please. And you know inside that it's worth like $3,000. And you're like, this is awesome. And so you get this vase and you take it home. What are you going to do with this vase? You're going to put it in a place in your home that has a place of honor. That you're going to show it to your friends, and you're going to put it in a place that can't be broken or stolen. Say the grandkids come over, or your kids are playing and wrestling. You don't want this to be in a spot that could get knocked over. It's going to be held in high honor because of the value that it has. That's the point the scripture is making. Husbands, your wife actually has a ton of value, but she might be vulnerable to getting knocked over and broken by the things in the world that might be against her. You have a role to protect her, to create a safe space for her, so that she feels honored in your relationship. That's what it's going after. You know, guys, there are some of us who value other things more than we value our wives. There are guys that love their cars. Maybe they've got one of those sports cars or one of those antique cars, and they go out and they wash it and they polish it, and they love spending time out there on the car. And they love that and value that more than they value their wife. Or maybe it's their golf clubs, or maybe it's their gaming system. I don't know, I'm trying to be relevant to whatever interest might be in the room. The call, husbands, is to show an honor to your wife that you prefer her in time and in attention, but also here emotionally, that you're going to invest in her and hold her in a kind of honor and esteem in your relationship that is more than any other thing that you have. Your wife is this most precious gift to you in your life that God has given to you. And so to honor her is to create a space for her where you will not speak poorly of her to others. You'll speak well to her and to her face. You won't disparage her, constantly criticize her. You'll see her as the gift from God that she is and value what she feels, what she thinks, what she has to say. This is how God would have for men to treat women. And it goes beyond the kind of communication and sharing in a home that says, hey, honey, I need this from the store. Can you pick this up? Or, hey, I'll go get the kids after soccer practice. Those are great things to communicate about. You've got to conduct the business of a home that you create in marriage. You have to report about what's happening, what went on in your day, what's going on financially, all these different things. But I want to submit to you that there are really three general categories of communication. There's the reporting business level of communication. There's the heart level of communication that gets more to what you think and feel. And then there's the gut level communication. And guys, if we're going to love our wives, to treasure her and honor her, we're going to seek to communicate on all three of those levels. That means when it's trash night, you're going to be like, hey, I remember it's trash night, and I'm going to go and I'm going to do this. I'm going to take out the garbage for you. And you're communicating about the business level. I just saw someone tap their husband. Trash doesn't go out on Sundays, but keep this in mind for the rest of the week, guys. Take the trash out. The next level of communication is this heart level communication. It's the kind that says, hey, such and such happened at work today. That's general reporting level. But I was frustrated about it because I've been working hard on this. And so when my boss said this, this, and this, it was like he just took all the credit away and didn't even recognize what I was doing here. That's more heart level. Or, you know, I was really happy today when such and such happened in my life. And now I'm sharing what I had a joy about. You're sharing it from it about feelings, how you thought about things. Guys, take the initiative to share that way. Don't just stop at the reporting level. Share what was going on inside of your heart or inside of your mind. One of the things that is famous in our relationship is I have this face that often is I wear as I'm sitting there or in the middle of a conversation. And Lisette's question used to be to me all the time, what's wrong? I'm like, nothing's wrong. Like, I'm fine. Like, don't ask me that question. I get like mad that she asked that question. What she's doing, she's recognizing I'm not really all there in this moment. So I said, well, what's a better question to me is, what are you thinking about? That will unlock for me to now share what's going on in my mind, what's going on in my heart, and I'll go, oh, yeah, I can do that. But nothing's wrong, because I'm a guy that doesn't want drama. I don't want to have something wrong in my life. So ask what I'm thinking about. Now we've just gone from reporting or nothing to sharing on the heart level. And guys, you need to be good at asking questions that will show that you're interested in hearing what your wife is thinking about. Then below that is the gut level. The gut level is the stuff that's vulnerable that you wouldn't share with very many people. It's the ways that maybe you failed at something and you feel terrible for it. It's the way that you might share if you're really, you dream about something and you dream about it so much that if you didn't achieve it, if you share it to other people, they're not going to understand or they're going to think, well, what's that? Like, they couldn't do that. Like no, I'm going to share this with only certain people that will understand and really value what I'm saying. Or this really hurt me. And here's why. That kind of gut level sharing, guys, we need to do that too. The kind that you might stop short of normally, but you're going to go, no, I'm going to press through that and I'm going to share that with my wife. And guys, we need to be asking the kinds of questions and showing the kind of patience that allows our wives to share that way with us too. So that we get beyond just the surface stuff and we get not just what we're thinking and feeling, but all the way down to the gut, the vulnerable stuff. And I will tell you guys that when we reach those levels down there, we're actually having emotional intimacy. It means to be known and to know someone else at the deepest levels. And guys, she will feel loved by that. She will feel like, man, we're connecting, and man, this is so good. I'm so grateful that we're talking in this way. She'll feel like that special vase that you bought that's so treasured and so valuable that you cared enough to share your heart with her and listen to her heart. She'll feel protected and desired and honored. Here are some things that you can say that would capture that. You know, honey, that sounds really hard. How are you feeling about that? You might sound like a counselor there. But it's good to ask those kinds of questions. How does that make you feel? What are you processing about that? And that's a question that invites for them to share with you. Or, honey, I totally understand how you would feel that way. I'm sorry. Showing empathy with how they're feeling. Or, hey, if you were in my shoes, how would you handle this? And it invites them to speak into your life, that you want to value their input and how they would approach things. Now, the last way that we need to love our wives is to love her spiritually. This is the last part. It talks about how we need to honor her because we are heirs together in the grace of life. Is talking to us that there is a spiritual level playing field that a husband and a wife have together. And this is the most foundational part of a marriage relationship. This is the deepest level that you can have. In fact, I wish this was the first thing, because then we could talk about, as it builds from spiritual to emotional to mental, then the physical. Let me just tell you, sex is the icing on the cake. The world tries to make it the foundation, and it's not. This is the foundation that everything else flows from. It's so important that we strive to be equally yoked together. Scripture calls us to that. That would mean that we don't want to just have one spouse who's following the Lord and one spouse who's not, though that may be the situation that some of you find yourself in this room. It also would mean that if one spouse who knows the Lord is trying to walk forward in their relationship with God, and the other spouse who knows the Lord is kind of lagging behind and not really showing much interest, that's also hard. And here's why. Because when we're following and seeking after the Lord, it changes everything about your life. It changes the way you look at things. It changes what you value. It changes what's most important. If God is at the top and you want to worship Him, then if you're going to worship Him, then it changes everything else that you do. It changes the way you look at money. It changes the way that you're going to spend your free time. It changes the way that you're going to parent. It changes the way that you're going to approach all kinds of subjects, even how you handle stress, how you handle conflict. If you handle it as someone who follows and worships the Lord, you're going to depend upon Him. You're going to follow what He says. And if the other spouse is like, no, I don't really care about that, then it's really hard to connect at those levels. If you are not married, but you want to be married, and you're here in this room, I just want to tell you, find a spouse who loves the Lord as much as you do. It will save you a lot of pain and heartache. Not just that says, yeah, I love the Lord, but then lives completely differently, but who will love the Lord as much as you do. And it can be a beautiful and wonderful thing. But while this is the most foundational level and a very important level for us to connect in our marriage, guys, I want to talk to you about this too. It's often the hardest one to lead forward with in marriage, to love her in a way that's out of spiritual love. And one of the reasons why is that our wives know the worst things about us. They know the failures of our past. They know the failures of today. They know how we've grown and the ways that we haven't grown. And you feel very exposed in a marriage. And one of the things about guys is we have these expectations that we've got to be the best at everything. We're supposed to be the provider. We're supposed to be the protector. We're supposed to be the guy who knows it all. So we think. And you come into a marriage and you go, man, I don't do a great job with this. So what do we do when we find a weakness in our life or a way that someone knows bad things about us? We cover it over with a veneer and we step back and retreat. That is the temptation that all men have. Guys, let me tell you, there's a couple things that burst the bubble here. One of those is what my wrestling coach used to say to me. When we would show up to a wrestling meet and you would meet the guy that you're going to wrestle, and all of a sudden there's this sense of intimidation. He looks stronger than me. He looks like he could beat me. And so you have this feeling of insecurity. My wrestling coach would say, listen, he's got to put his pants on one leg at a time just like you do. And what he's saying is, you're both just human beings that have your own problems. You're just regular people. Guys, your wife is a regular person who has her failures, who has her difficulties, and she needs Jesus just as much as you do. We are heirs together of the grace of life. No woman is more qualified and better at spiritual things than a man. We both need Jesus. We both need his grace. And so approach it with that sense of like, I need Jesus, so does she. And Jesus is going to work in her life. He's going to work in my life. And so we're on equal playing field together. Another thing with that is, guys, your worst enemy in this is to retreat and to be passive. Guys, if you're doing even one thing to follow the Lord, you have something to share with her. If you read your Bible this morning and God showed you something that's really interesting or something that impacted you, you have something you can share today. If you even know how to pray, not out of some like good sounding praying, but just out of like the cries of your heart, like something's wrong and I need to go to the Lord and ask him for help. If you can verbalize that, get it out of your mouth with your wife, then you have something to pray about. And there's an endless need of things to pray about. Guys, if there's anything in your past that's holding you back, you feel like there's this cloud of shame covering over you, and you feel like you can't get past this thing, then I want to just tell you, take a step forward, talk to someone about it, begin working through it, and your wife will respect whatever step you take to grow. She's going to say, man, okay, he's really putting the Lord first in his life, and it's going to feel like you're doing this together. So here's a few things, guys, that you can say with your wife that capture the heart of this. Hey, God convicted me on something I said yesterday, and I need to apologize to you. Guys, that's a great thing. Be humble. It's one of the first spiritual steps. It's so hard for us to do because we're prideful, but to humble yourself and apologize because God convicted you on something. Hey, in my time with God, as I was reading my Bible, he spoke to me. There was a really cool verse that I read, and here's what it was, and don't just report about it. Try to get to a little bit of a heart level. Why was that important to you? Why did it impact you? And then this one that sometimes feels to some couples like it's just so hard to do. Can we pray together right now? Like, could we pray about this together? For some couples, you've broken through that barrier. It's not awkward at all. That's awesome. Some couples, I know, this is the hardest thing for you to say. Can we pray together? Guys, take that step. Take her by the hand and pray. And it may be the best thing that you've ever done in your marriage. All right, I got to land the plane here. It's time. It's Father's Day lunches. That's all going to be happening here. And guys, let me just reiterate, love your wife with your, so physically being with her, love her with your mind and your attention, love her emotionally and honor her enough to create that safe space for her to share and love her spiritually. This verse tells us a good motivating factor of why. It says, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. That doesn't show up other places in Scripture. Guys, God's saying, listen, I will block, like a shot blocker in the NBA Finals. I'm going to block your prayers if you don't love your wives like you should. You don't want anything to hinder your prayers. Guys, if you're praying and it feels like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling, maybe there's something you need to get right with your wife. If you're praying and you're asking for something and God's going, well, that's great, you're asking for that, but what he doesn't really know is that he might need a little pain in his life so that it'll soften his heart up toward his wife. Like, do you want that to be the way God's answering your prayers? Then humbly, passionately love your wife. So let's take it to just the very final thing. Here's some things that God would want to hear from you, guys. And I'm going to give you a moment to pray. Lord, help me love my wife like you love me. I know how stubborn I am. I know how hard I can be. Help me love my life like you love me. Show me one specific way I can grow in loving my wife, maybe from something I heard today. I pray for my wife today that you would help her with and pray for your wife. So we're going to stop right now, and I'm going to give husbands that opportunity to pray one of those three or all of those three. And if you're not a husband, if you're single, if you're a female in this room, then pray for a marriage, whether it's yours or someone else's. And let's just take a couple moments here before the Lord. This is what God wants us to be praying about.